Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, Sharks fans. Welcome to Dudes on Hockey. We're on episode 85. I'm Mike. That's Doug.
Dude, I just want to say, you know, the Academy Award nominations came out today.
Right, and don't they have 10 Best Picture nominations
they
now?
They expanded to 10 Best Picture nominees this year. Mm-hmm. You know, there were some, you know, pretty expected things, you know, like Avatar.
Avatar.
And Up. Yeah. You know, Up in the Air. But I thought it was really great that the Academy recognized the Sutter brothers for The Blind Side based on the trades that they made this week.
Yeah.
Wow.
Big trades happened over the weekend.
A lot of shaking it up.
That's right. We'll be getting to those a little bit later in the show. Of course, there's Sharks news. We had a new poll last week. We have some updates on the bet we made last week. Plenty of things to talk about today. But we have to talk about the Sharks first because we were on such a high last week.
Sharks were playing, I think, their best hockey of the season going into this week.
And now they have two disappointing losses back-to-back against Chicago and Detroit. So what to make of all of this, dude? Which was worse, the Chicago loss? They gave up 3 goals in the first 10 minutes of the game. They managed to claw their way back, but yet still lose in overtime. Or going up 2-0 to Detroit tonight and then just basically checking out after that.
Yeah, I think tonight hurt more than last Thursday did, at least to me personally, because I thought they came out really strong tonight. I loved how the first line was playing. I loved how Joe Thornton was driving the net, being where he should be, you know, where he very often isn't, which is, you know, being a present in front of the net, cleaning up the trash. I mean, he's so big and strong. When he adds that dimension to his game, he's just virtually unstoppable. And then, you know, the Sharks' lack of depth on defense just got exposed.
That's pretty much the story of the last two games. When Vlasic did get hurt in the Chicago game, he only played the first period. He only played about 7.5 minutes. Then he didn't play at all against Detroit. There was another game in there, too.
The Minnesota game on Saturday, but I mean, it's hard to... We can talk a little bit about that game, you know, maybe at the end. But, I mean, I don't get that excited about beating Minnesota.
Right. That's not really how you measure your team against. You measure them against the best. And right now, the best in the West look like to be Chicago and Detroit. Detroit has most of their players back with the exception of Johan Franzen. Is that right?
That's right.
So, Tomas Holmstrom came back tonight. He had 2 points. You know, you want to see him back. Nicholas Cronwall is back, although he did not play in the third period. It looks like he took a shot or a hit or something, but he looked wobbly or a little gimpy there for a while in the game, I noticed. And so he didn't play at all in the third period, but they seem to have almost everybody back. And the Red Wings look as dangerous as ever, basically. And the Sharks are now 0-2-1 against the Red Wings this year. Not good.
No, not good. I always feel a little bit bad. Just looking at the stats here, you know, we're feeling a little down, and the Sharks are 8-0-2 in their last 10, not including tonight.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, feel free to, kick us square in the jewels if you'd like. But I'm trying not to get too worked up about this, dude, because I think any team, when you take away two of your best defensemen, they're going to struggle.
Yeah.
And, you know, no Boyle, who, you know, I think, in my opinion, is the MVP of this team. When he's not there, you can clearly see the effect of that on the ice. And it's unfortunate. Vlasic seemed to really be coming into his own in the last 4 games there where, you know, we were beating up on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he goes out with an undisclosed injury.
Right.
So hopefully he's going to be back soon. Dude, do you think Derek Jocelyn is an NHL player?
Well, he surely didn't look like one tonight. But then again, he was playing with Jay Leach. I sort of think about Jocelyn the way I think about Leach, in that you put him with a solid NHL player and he's not going to completely embarrass himself. But you put Jay Leach with Derek Jocelyn, or say Derek Jocelyn with, Jay Leach, and they look freaking terrible together. Oh my Lord. Oh, painful.
There was some ugly, ugly moments there.
Yeah, there certainly were.
During the game when they were both on the ice. And I really, what I said when we started the game, what I said is I really wanted to see the Sharks take the game to Detroit physically. I think that's a dimension that we can put into our game with our third line especially. And I didn't see it. And the only person who seemed to be really living that part of the game plan was Scott Nichol.
Yeah, as always.
As he always is. And, you know, he was flying around and, you know, was getting under people's skin. And I liked how after Detroit tied up the score that he was trying to get Patrick Eves to take a penalty. It didn't happen. You know, that's when Nichol's really at his best. But it's disheartening to lose to the Wings. You know, we're 0-2-1 against the Wings this year.
Yeah, we lost Chicago again.
We had these gigantic men in front of us who are Red Wings fans who were completely hammered.
Just blitzed.
These guys, I think that they take steroids in the morning in their cereal bowl and add milk. They were so, I mean, these guys were big.
Yeah,
they were. And you know what, dude? I got to give you credit. You were lipping off to them a little bit at the end.
I was. Because, you know, the thing is, they missed over half the game. They left in the middle of the first period. They missed the entire second period. And I remember looking at the clock when they came back, finally back to their seats. There was like 8 minutes left in the third. They missed over half the game. They paid hundreds of dollars for those seats, and they didn't use them. That was so lame.
They paid for those tickets, and then they went down to the club level bar,
right,
and probably drank about $200 of Bushmills,
right? Yeah,
and like then
well vodka.
This guy was trying to explain that the Sharks have won nothing,
right?
He's like, we won five cups, six, yeah. seven,
nine cups.
Oh. Nine. Oh well. We would love to see them again. We hope they buy the seats in front of us again.
Yeah,
dude, I want to put the Detroit game behind us because I really feel like there's no point in really dwelling on it because, you know,
it's depressing.
It was depressing.
It's really depressing.
And also, I mean, I don't want to give excuses, but I'm going to give one. It's a little bit of an incomplete. You know, when you've got two AHL guys running around out there against still one of the best teams in the league, you're going to have to play out of your mind to win. And they just weren't able to overcome that.
Yes, yes. I know. The thing that we were talking about was we were walking away from the game that made me feel a little bit better. Although, again, this definitely falls into the excuse category. Take away two of the top four defensemen. You know, take away Duncan Keith, Chicago's best defenseman. And then take away, who's another top four defenseman for them?
Well, you take away Keith and Campbell.
Right.
Then they're playing Seabrook and Barker together, and now you've got Sopel.
Right.
Now they're calling up guys from the AHL. They're on the phone to Merrick Malik.
Yeah.
Please right. come play for us. I have a Blackhawks question for you.
Okay.
Because now Dave Boland is back. He's playing tomorrow night, it looks like. So Adam Burrish is on his way back too, it looks like, in early March. So what does this mean for the Blackhawks, dude? I mean, do you think that they're going to really jettison some of these guys and maybe bring in another high-profile guy?
I think they kind of have to, right? I mean, they're in cap trouble. So, you know, what's funny is, you know, given all the trades that happened over the weekend, and we'll get to that in a moment, it seems to have raised the rhetoric a little bit on Kovalchuk. That's sort of gone into the front of people's minds. Oh, where's Kovalchuk going to go? Because everybody says, this guy's definitely going to be traded. And I've said to people, the only team, honestly, one of the only teams that I would counsel, if I was counseling GMs and they had my phone number and they called me up and they said, should we trade for Kovalchuk? I would tell all of them no, except for maybe the Chicago Blackhawks. Because I think every team in the league would have to give up a truckload of talent, both NHL and young, probably prospects as well. And what would happen? He's probably going to jet after the season's over. It's just not worth it. Only if you have a legitimate chance to win the Cup this year should you maybe think about going and getting a guy like that. In Chicago, they have some cap trouble. They can get rid of some guys with some contracts that they won't have next year. And then Kovalchuk obviously will be off the books next year. Maybe Kovalchuk might be the right move for Chicago. I don't know.
I guess. I mean, if you look at it from this point of view, where that, you know, let's say the price is Barker, Boland, and Versteeg. Okay, you're gutting your second and third line to make it happen, but you've got enough talent to maybe overcome it. They have Jack Skill or Skyle. How do you say his name, dude? Is it Skyle?
Is it Skilly?
I don't know. It's don't one know. Of those two. Jackie S. They'll yeah. bring him up. They've still got Burrish. They still got, what's the other really nice?
Bufflin?
They've got Bufflin. They've got some other, you know, good Troy Brower.
Yeah.
They've got some good complimentary players.
We had two goals
there.
Against us last Thursday.
So, you know, maybe they are deep enough to do it. And if Kovalchuk walks, which, you know, my money in Vegas would be that he's going to the KHL for that tax-free money, mm-hmm. that they then would have the cap room to go out and find the little gems that Doug Wilson did this year, find their own nickel, find their own Ortmeier to play for the $750,000. You know, guys will love to play in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So I hate to say it, but, you know, you're probably right. I think the only other team that it makes sense for is the Washington Capitals because... Yeah. Mm-hmm. If anyone could probably convince Covey to stay in the States, I think it's Ovechkin.
I think you're right.
And you get him in Washington. They have a nice little playoff run, you know, and then AO's in his ear the whole time. Make a long-term commitment. Stay here with me. Mm-hmm. You know, the prospect of Backstrom, Kovalchuk, and Ovechkin
yeah, that's
is
ridiculous.
Just ridiculous yeah. and would be a lot of fun. And as a hockey fan... And, you know, certainly not wanting him in Chicago. I'd be rooting for that because
yeah,
I think
yeah.
that would be, that would set up some even more epic Penguins, you know, Capitals oh, yeah. battles
sure.
Down the pike.
But you hear about Kovalchuk to the Kings for Jack Johnson and Braden Schenn. And I think, man, Dean Lombardi would be a moron if he made that deal. I mean,
he's not.
Are the Kings
it.
Really Kovalchuk away from winning the Cup? They're just not. I mean, they're a good team and they're a playoff team. But you give them a 50-goal score, they're not all of a sudden going to be the most dangerous team in the West.
No. And there's just no guarantee that he's going to stay.
That's right.
I think if he had another 2 years on his deal, then that's a different story.
Totally different.
Even a year. I think it's a different story, yeah. but you know, to get him for 6 weeks and then to maybe win a playoff series and then have him walk to the KHL and leave you with nothing after Lombardi has put in way too much time that's not his style. He's not going to do that.
Right.
I think the chances on that are really low that's going to happen. So
speaking of bad trades, we saw a few of them over the weekend, didn't we? Three monster deals.
I
wouldn't say they're all bad trades either, but it's pretty funny because one of them in particular I thought was kind of bad.
Oh, there's one. There's two that are pretty hilarious.
Yeah, there's two that are pretty bad, but two or three. But let me recap for those of you who may not be totally up on all of your NHL news. So the big deal, of course, was Dion Phaneuf getting traded from Calgary. And this is a guy that we've talked about on previous shows. Maybe we could get for the Sharks. Clearly, there's cap questions surrounding all of that, but... He was traded to Toronto, Phaneuf, Freddie Schustrom, and a prospect named Keith Ollie for Ian White, another guy we've talked about on this show, maybe to the Sharks, Matt Stajan, Nicholas Hagman, and Jamal Mayers. So Calgary cleans house. They get Phaneuf out of town, and they get some real secondary scoring that they can use. And a guy, Ian White, who I think is a little bit under the radar, and Bob McKenzie wrote an article about that trade saying, actually, you know what? Ian White for Phaneuf this year is a wash. They have almost the same amount of points, but the difference is Phaneuf has so much further to go in his career. He could get so much better, and Ian White is kind of peaked out, at least in his opinion. So that was a real interesting deal. The second deal was another Toronto blockbuster, Vesa Toskala, an old Shark, and Jason Blake getting traded to the Anaheim Ducks for Jaguar. Sort of a dump deal on both sides. Toronto's trying to get rid of Jason Blake, and Anaheim's trying to get rid of Jaguar. And then finally, the third deal that finally, I guess, went through today, Olli Jokinen got jettisoned from Calgary, just like he was jettisoned from Phoenix, with Brandon Proust for Alice Kotelik and Christopher Higgins. So, dude, where do you want to start? So many great things to talk about with all of these trades, and I never would have expected three monster deals like this to happen before the trade deadline, but, you know, great fodder for the show.
Let's start with the big one. Let's start with the Guillaume Laitandres trade.
For Benoit Pouliot.
I want to talk about
that. Of course.
Okay. Yep. Dude, let's start with the Phaneuf deal.
Yeah.
All right. At first, my reaction to this was puzzlement on both sides.
Yeah.
I guess when you... I'm a big FNUF guy. I know
me
that
too.
You're a fan as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, he's had a bad year, and I certainly don't mean think that that means he's a bad player, although we saw firsthand he looked pretty out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe disinterested, and we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You know, we've been hearing for a while that...
Maybe he's trying to get a deal as an extra on 24.
Yeah. things haven't been going so well for him in Calgary. He probably didn't get along with Ron Sutter, and it seemed like he wanted out, although he feigned, you know, surprise mm-hmm. when he was traded. But I have a feeling that there was something going on behind the scenes there. For him to be able to go to Toronto and be a centerpiece there of a rebuilding project, I think can only be a good thing for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a good thing for that team. But what they had to give up, Toronto had to give up, I mean, for a team that has problems scoring anyways.
Yeah.
I was like, whoa, you know, okay, so who's... Is Tim Hunter going to put on the skates and go out and play, you know, from off the bench? Or like, what's happening here? But there's got to be a part C to these deals, right?
You think so?
Don't you think? I mean, he is so loaded on the blue line with all of these NHL, I mean, really legitimate NHL defensemen that he has there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let me run down for you who they've got.
Yeah.
Right now they've got FNUF. They have Finger, who was scratched tonight. They have Garnet Exelby.
Right.
They have Carl Gunnarsson, who they seem to like a lot.
Right.
They have Thomas Caberle.
Right.
They have Luke Shen.
Yeah.
And they have Mike Van Ryan, who is hurt.
Right.
That's a lot of D.
Yeah, that's a lot of D.
That's too much D. They could certainly stand to probably trade. Oh, I forgot Francois Beauchemin.
That's right.
I mean, so who just forgot that guy?
Yeah. Oops.
So,
yeah, that's a lot of D.
They've got to be. Did I even say Mike Komisarek? I didn't.
I know. I mean, what is that, 9D?
I know. It is. It's crazy. It's like 9D. It's ridiculous. It's way too much. Yeah, I'm sure that Burke wants to thank Cliff Fletcher for signing Jeff Finger to that great contract, by the way. $3.5 million just to sit on the bench.
Yeah, good one.
That's rough. The Leafs are in a little bit of a weird spot, but you got to think that he already has something else hammered out to make another deal. As far as for the Flames, do you think the deal makes them better now?
Yes.
This deal.
Yes, I do.
This deal.
I do think it makes them better now. Stajan and Hagman are second-line scoring players, the kinds of players that Calgary needs. I don't begrudge them that deal. I think they gave up, obviously, the best player in the deal in Dion Phaneuf. Maybe they made the decision, this guy's not going to get any better playing here. It's a dead end for this guy. And for that, it's the right decision for them. I like Toronto getting him because I think it's a high-risk, high-reward situation, the kind of deal Brian Burke likes to make. And I think it may very well work out in his favor, especially if he's building from the back end. And, I mean, really, do you really think you're going to build a Stanley Cup contender around Matt Stajan? I mean, it's not that he's a bad player. Or Nicholas Hagman. They're not bad players, but... I mean, these are the kinds of guys that you want to get rid of in order to get a premier piece like Phaneuf. I don't see that as a bad move by Toronto.
No, they're complementary players. For a team that's maybe ready to try and take the next step like Calgary, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, they've totally reworked their second and third lines here during, you know, in 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
They've become completely different. And Ian White, I think, kind of slips in there nicely. And, you know, losing Proust in the other deal, you know, Mayers can kind of,
right,
fit in there, and Jamal Maris has been a pretty capable NHL enforcer for many years.
No doubt.
So for him to fit in there, it'll be interesting to see if Calgary is able to take a step forward. Now, let's go to the other Calgary trade, which is, you know, Jokinen and Proust to the Rangers for Kotelik and Higgins, dude. Yeah. What do you think?
I thought Calgary got worked in this deal. I mean, sure, I understand you want to get rid of a guy. I understand you want to ship him. But Alex Kotelik and Chris Higgins, I mean, both of these guys are busts, right? But, I mean, Chris Higgins signed too big of a deal, a New York Ranger deal, right? Not as bad as Wade Redden's deal, but still.
Oh, it's Kotelik who's on the long-term deal.
Oh, Kotelik's got it. He's got, what, 3 years, $9 million or something?
3 years, $9 million.
Yeah,
so now the Flames are
terrible.
On the hook for that.
Yeah.
And this guy, talk about one-dimensional. I mean, he is the new Zhirdev.
Yeah. Well, the dimension is awful.
22 points. He's a minus 18.
Ugh.
16 of those points on the power play. So he loves to pass. But... Wow, I can't. This guy is on his fourth NHL team in a year.
Yeah,
Buffalo to Edmonton to the Rangers to Calgary.
Yeah,
and now they're stuck with him. I think they really blew it on this.
Yeah,
I don't get it.
Blew it.
Higgins whatever.
Yeah.
He can walk at the end of the year. And for the Rangers, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, yeah. You know, Jokinen.
It's the same kind of thing that Toronto pulled off. It's a high-risk, high-reward situation. If Jokinen and Gabrick click, then it looks great. If they don't, then isn't he a UFA at the end of the year? So you let Jokinen walk if you really have to.
Jokinen has played himself into that sort of no-man's land category. Yeah. I mean, this guy who was, you know, probably in line to get a huge deal when he came up at the end of his deal. When we're talking, this guy's like now fallen into like the $2 and $3 million range.
I agree. We've talked in previous shows, for those of you who've been with us a long time, about how there's this weird shrinking middle class of players, and a lot of times teams want to go with top end talent, or they want to go with young guys or guys that don't make a lot of money, guys like Scott Nickel and you know, just draft picks and prospects. And we could see a pretty dry marketplace for Olli Jokinen in the offseason, especially since now he's been run out of three teams, essentially, and he's been effectively painted with the bad teammate, bad leader, you know,
he's not a winner. I mean, you know, you want to put the stamp on someone of not being a winner. I mean, Olli Jokinen could be the poster child for that. You know, teams, he leaves teams and they get better. He left Phoenix, they got better. He leaves Calgary, we'll see if they're going to get better. So if Jokinen and Phaneuf were the problem,
mm-hmm.
and Ron Sutter's like, I can't do this anymore with these two guys here, and Daryl Sutter just said, you know what?
Now they have a new problem, and his name is Alex Cotterby.
Well, maybe they figured, you know, he may suck, but he's not, you know,
he's not going to blow up the room.
Yeah. Or something, you know.
All right, dude. So what about the goalie swap, Toskala and Jason Blake for Giguere?
Is Bob Murray the worst GM in the NHL?
Well, this deal doesn't look good for him, I got to say.
Can we talk about the moves that he's made since he's taken over? Okay, he traded Pronger. That trade has turned out to be terrible.
Right. Well, Joffre Lupul's hurt, which isn't really his fault. But
even if Joffre Lupul was healthy and scoring 45 points this year, that's still a bad trade. To pick a guy who's not ready for the NHL and Spezza, who knows what he's going to be, and Lupul for Pronger, not having him on the team has been a big problem. They traded Moen and Huskins and those guys were basically no immediate return.
Right.
And they signed Steve Eminger to a 2-year deal. That guy's horrible. And they signed Nick Boynton, who they waived this week. He's so good.
Right.
Okay. And now they trade Giguere, who just blanked the New Jersey Devils tonight, by the way. He's so washed up. Okay. He blanks the Devils tonight.
Right.
And in return, they take Toskala, who is really struggling.
Oh, yeah.
And they get one of the worst contracts in the NHL in Jason Blake.
Yeah.
That's how bad that was?
Yeah, and Toskala is going to be... Well, maybe they hope they can get Toskala a huge pay cut and make him the backup next year, because he's going to be unrestricted at the end. But the Jason Blake... Well,
they're going to let him walk. They've got Justin Pogue or whatever, Pogie, or...
Yeah.
Oh, they've got Timo Pielmeier. He's ready for big-time duty.
Not really.
So I think we agree the Ducks are the losers in this.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the winner of all these trades between the Rangers, the Flames, and the Leafs? Who do you like as having the most upside?
I'm going to go with Toronto. I'm still going to go with Toronto. I mean... I'm a Phaneuf guy. I like Phaneuf. They got rid of two bad contracts. Well, Toskala's wasn't really a bad contract, but they got rid of two bad players and their worst contract in Blake. And they brought in a number one D. And they know they're not going to win this year. And that doesn't matter. They're trying to build for later on. Maybe they can turn Mike Van Rijn, who's going to be unrestricted, into something else, into some other scoring or a prospect or something like that. I like that. As far as Calgary goes, it's not... They aren't bad deals for them by any means, although the fact that they got Kotelik and Higgins, I think, turns me towards Toronto as the obvious winner here. Do you disagree?
No, I think long-term I've got to agree with you. And but I got to say also, I kind of like what the Rangers did in terms of they just cleared $5 million off their cap, mm-hmm. and they really needed to do that. And to get someone to take Kotelik at this point, it's a miracle.
And they managed to get rid of Scott Gomez, so that was
pretty good. I mean it's darn near a miracle. So
if only they hadn't signed Michael Rosenvall and Wayne Redden, they'd be set.
Oh my gosh, dude. What a crazy week.
Yeah, crazy week. All right, dude. Let's do some housekeeping here. The poll was up as to people maybe wanting to join us, the dudes, for an away game at Stanley Sports Bar and Grill at Sharks Ice. Pretty positive results there. Actually, funny story. I checked the poll about 2 or 3 hours after I first put it up, and we had one vote, and the guy voted F off, which I thought was really funny. But I think we have over 20 people or so. So we might try to make that happen. Not exactly sure when. I think maybe this upcoming road trip, maybe a little bit too soon. Can't get the scheduling right for that. But stay tuned to the podcast, and we'll try to announce one maybe in March. We can get a away game that we can that makes sense for us all to meet up at Stanley. So that'll be fun.
Sounds good, dude.
Second order of business, dude. We made a bet last week.
Yes, we did.
And you refused to pay.
That's correct.
Yes. Right.
Because the terms of the bet were not met.
Dude, I said, a beer at the game says Demare plays.
Right.
And you said a beer. And then did Demare's play?
He did.
Against Chicago?
But the conversation, the context of the conversation was that he would be playing
instead of Jay Leach.
Instead of Jay Leach.
And they both
not
played.
And not instead of Dan Boyle.
Right.
So that's what happened. So Leach and Demare's played.
But the bet was, is Demare's going to play?
That was not the implied terms of the bet.
There's no implied terms. There's only terms and not terms. So this is the new poll question for the week. Is Doug a dirty Welsher? A, yes. A, yes, pay up.
Or B, is Mike a greedy bastard? Okay.
That'll be the other answer. B, no, Mike is just a greedy bastard.
Yes. Okay. I feel I've made my case. If you go back and listen to the conversation, we were talking about whether Demaris was going to play over Leach, not over Boyle.
Yes. This is weak
sauce. I refuse, but I will listen to the listeners.
The listeners, are you going to Welsh again if the listeners say you have to pay up?
I swear
uh-huh.
on Jed Ortmeier that I will pay up. Dude, I'm an honest man.
Except you didn't pay up on
the No, dude, because I
know. There's a semi-dishonest dispute about it.
Dude, we got a question this week.
Did you
see that?
Yeah, I did. Let me pull it up here.
It's from Darren in Seattle.
Yeah,
Thank you for listening to us. I always get a kick out of the fact that there's people. We get a lot of emails from people. We've got Chris in Boston, right?
Yeah.
And we have...
Who I think is back now, but he was in Boston for a time. And we got SoCal people. We got...
Yes.
Andy in England.
Hello, Governor.
Oh, God, that again. Even someone from Australia, I think.
We did. We had a guy from Australia, but I think the koala pulled his plug.
Anyway, so Darren says, watching highlights of tonight's Wild v. Sharks and Marlowe's second goal of tap that flying puck has me a little giddy in appreciation of how well Patty has done for himself this year. At this point, he has 37 goals in 55 games. What crazy wild guess do you make for him making 60?
Ooh.
So let's play a little odds makers. Those of you who watch PTI know that they play an odds makers game. What percentage would you say is the chances of Marlowe making 60 goals this season?
10%.
Yeah, yeah. That's sort of the number that I was thinking of. I may go 15%, but that's kind of the number I'm thinking of.
Let's set an over-under here. All right.
Over-under.
Dude, how many goals will Patrick Marlowe score this year? Over or under?
Let me pull up the page for the that'll project it. So ESPN projects 54. Do you want to make that the over or under?
Yes.
Okay.
So what are you taking, the over or the under?
At his current rate, he will get 54. I'm going to take the under.
Hmm.
You want the over?
Yes.
You want the over? You don't look that happy about it.
No. I will take the over.
Okay.
Beer at the game.
Beer at the game.
All right.
54 is a push.
54 is a push.
Okay.
54 means we both buy a beer, but we pay for it ourselves.
Is there any ambiguity here in this bet, or am I going to get bitten again?
Only if Jason Demaris plays.
Okay. Damn it. I'm going to take under because I think that there could be a bit of a letdown after the Olympics, so I'm going to take under.
Awesome. Hey, Darren, thanks for listening, and hope it's not raining right now in Seattle.
Yeah.
Don't you think Seattle should have a hockey team?
They do. They have the Seattle Thunderbirds.
I know, but shouldn't they? If there was NHL expansion, wouldn't Seattle be up there at the top of the list?
I think so.
Seattle, Portland.
Yeah, Portland.
One of these northwest cities.
Hey, Darren, let us know if you've ever been to a Seattle Thunderbirds game, which, by the way, is, of course, where Patrick Marleau played his junior's career.
Fabulous.
WHL, Seattle Thunderbirds. Anyway, I think they used to play in that... there's an arena right by the Space Needle. When I was up in Seattle a few months back, I had to check it out, of course, because...
Of course.
You know, you check all that stuff out. I'm like, hey, Patrick Marleau played here. Maybe, you know, if I get lucky, there's a Thunderbirds game I could go see or something.
Oh, yeah. It's July. There's no games.
Whatever. It was like late September. I thought maybe I could see preseason or something.
Yeah, there was something else that was pointing out on the blog, and I had actually noticed it before whoever pointed it out on the blog, was that Darren Drager in a chat today talked about how the Sharks were in on Ian White before mm-hmm. he got traded to Calgary.
Right.
And Drager followed it up with a sentence saying something like, this is the kind of move you could expect the Sharks to make.
Right.
And what I interpreted is getting an impact player that's making less than $1 million is, right. I think, the type of move that you'd be looking for mm-hmm. from the Sharks. So I kind of did some digging around today because it's hard to find those kind of guys.
It is.
Ian White, really, you know, there are guys out there, you know, like people we talked about, like Niskanen and Giordano. But I think at this point, realistically, they're really not available.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get Giordano out of Calgary. No chance.
So I made a list of two guys
okay.
who I thought maybe might be available, and I wanted to get your take on it.
All right, dude.
If Montreal falls out of the race, mm-hmm. what about Marc-Andre Bergeron? From the Canadiens, got 28 points. He's logging 22 minutes a game. He really only kind of plays the power play. He'd be a more veteran type Demers.
Yeah.
And a puck mover. He was part of that Oilers team in 2006 that went to the Cup Finals. He's making $750,000 unrestricted at the end of the year. Would you trade Staubitz and a third rounder for Bergeron?
So basically you're trading a third rounder for Bergeron?
Well, you have to throw in Staubitz yeah. because we have to clear the salary.
Right.
And that's... unless they waive Staubitz.
I would make that deal. Mm-hmm. I would absolutely make that deal. Third round, sure. I'd make that deal.
He's been traded for picks many times in his career, actually. I think he was traded twice in 1 year, you know, from the Oilers to the Islanders to the Ducks, you know, for picks. He's been well-traveled, but I...
He's got 12 penalty minutes. 20 of his 28 points are on the power play. So that tells you
what type of player he is.
That tells you what kind of player he is.
Sure. Okay, here's the next one. Very similar type of player, maybe just a little bit more physical.
Mm-hmm.
How about Curtis Foster from the Tampa Bay Lightning? He mm-hmm. leads all their D in 25 points. A lot of those are coming also on the power play. He doesn't play the penalty kill really at all. Mm-hmm. He's more of a power play and even strength type of guy. We certainly couldn't put his locker next to Torrey Mitchell.
Yeah, because Torrey Mitchell broke his leg. Oops.
Would you trade Staubitz in a fourth rounder for 2 months of Curtis Foster?
Yeah, I would. I think I would. I think I like both of those deals, dude. Good stuff.
Thanks. Yeah. I was trying to find guys who maybe could make a positive impact. I think what we saw tonight is, yeah, you know, well, I am a fan of Demers, and I think he is looking better every game that he's here.
Mm-hmm.
Leach is just not able to hold his own in a game like tonight, and Jocelyn was just downright dreadful.
See, the thing is, I think they fed off of each other, and I'm going to go to a text message that I got from my friend Scott at the game, who actually texted us a question at the end. He said, "Dear dudes, what do you think about our defensive depth now that Boyle and Vlasic have missed a couple games? Feeling good or starting to worry?" Scott from San Jose.
Starting to worry.
Yeah, starting to worry. I mean, if we don't have those two, then yeah, we're basically dead. Right?
Sure.
If the Sharks don't make a move, the Sharks are dead. If you miss two of your top four defensemen, one of them being Dan Boyle, who's an Olympian and all-star, and is probably going to have 60-plus points this year, yeah, you're pretty much toast. So, yeah. I mean, but like I said before, the thing about Leach is you play him with someone who's decent. He doesn't look bad. He doesn't look bad. But you play him with Jocelyn, it's you know, turnover city. It's a terrible situation. So, yes, of course, I'd be worried, and I want both those guys to have speedy recoveries, and I definitely, in a way, I'm almost glad that Boyle didn't play, because if he's not completely healthy, don't play him. You
right.
know what I mean? I
totally agree.
We don't want to rush these guys back, because I think Tom McClellan has said that a little bit about last year. He said he felt like he rushed some guys back from injury too soon. I'm glad he's not making that mistake again this year.
They've been pretty responsible about that.
We don't want to have these guys on, you know, playing 70% the last two months of the season, and then they have to go play playoff hockey.
There's no need for it.
You don't want that.
You know what's been exciting this week, too, is the Facebook page has been really active. We've been getting a lot of people have been posting crazy trades. We've been responding to them. You know, it seems like there's a lot of fans on the Facebook page who are calling for the exodus of Ryan Clough.
Yeah, that's
seems to be the center of a lot of people's anger. We even had some people say, you know, hopefully the Sharks will get rid of some dead weight like number 29.
Yeah, yeah.
So people seem to be a little bit down on Clough. Dude, you know, he probably still has a lot of value around the league. You know, I floated the idea of Clough for Beauchemin. Now with Komisarek apparently out possibly for the rest of the year, I think that deal is not going to happen.
No, that's not likely now.
So we'll have to keep our ear to the street or to the ice, as you might say, and find out what happens. But I think we all know with Doug Wilson, if anything is going to happen, it's going to be so far out of left field that we'll have no idea that it's coming.
We'll have no clue. And if you have any great ideas, listeners, feel free to email us at questions@dudesonhockey.com, or you can join our Facebook fan forum or whatever, or just comment on the blog.
Yeah, we've got a big road trip coming up, dude.
We certainly do. It's frankly not looking all that good.
So we're going to St. Louis, Nashville, Detroit, Buffalo, Toronto, and Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
What's your feel?
Columbus seems to be the only one that I definitely think we're definitely going to win. All the other games, I think, are up in the air. Even
See,
Toronto.
Now, I feel the exact opposite.
What?
I'm just kidding. Dude, I told you as we were walking home that this could be something as bad as like a 2-4 road trip, especially if Boyle and Vlasic are not healthy.
Mm-hmm.
It could be bad.
I agree.
It could be pretty rough. And, you know, the Sharks, unfortunately, could sort of skid their way into the Olympic break, which I think won't be good. Not a good thing.
No.
So hopefully we'll be wrong. And, you know, by the time we talk to you, the Sharks will have already played St. Louis and Nashville. And I think we'll probably be recording after the Toronto game next week. Is Toronto on Monday or Tuesday next week? We're going to have to look this up. These two dudes are completely unprepared.
Toronto's on Monday.
And is anyone on Tuesday?
Nope. We play Wednesday and Thursday back-to-back, Columbus and Detroit.
So then we will have talked to you fresh off all of us seeing FNUF firsthand.
That's right.
And we'll get a look at those guys, and we'll certainly see how the Sharks are faring in their first three games of the road trip, dude.
All right. Thanks for listening to the podcast. You can listen to us again next week. We'll give you updates, and we will talk to you then.
Later.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions@dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.